A couple weeks ago, we talked about legacy, the importance of legacy. There's just been a lot of dialogue, a lot of conversations about that. Last week, talking just about how prophecy stands strong, stands powerful. Just there again, an amazing dialogue all this week about the importance of prophecy and what that means. And so we're just going to jump in this morning with 2 Peter chapter 2. We're in 2 Peter chapter 2. It's only been 36 weeks. We are rolling through this book, okay? But we're going to be reading that. It's a really simple thing, but I just want to throw this out. Who and what still matters? Who and what still matters? Let's begin reading in verse 1. But there were also false prophets among the people. So think about all those years. So Jesus comes, lives, dies, he ascends to heaven. The church gets launched right off the get-go. I mean, we're not like 150 years. We're talking like really quick, false prophets moved in among the people. Right away, nothing's changed. Look at what he says. Even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly, not openly, but secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow, many will follow their destructive ways because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed by covetousness. Are you familiar with that word? It's a powerful word. A lot of selfish, for me, building, grabbing, lustful. By covetousness, they will exploit you. So the goal, the motivation is made plain here. By covetousness, you're going to be exploited with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not, or it will not, slumber. Now, I want to jump in real quick. The Greek meaning of the phrase false prophets means this: one who, acting the part of a divinely inspired prophet, utters falsehoods under the name of divine prophecies or a false prophet. The Greek meaning of the phrase false teacher means a spurious teacher, i.e. a propagator of erroneous Christian doctrine or false teacher. Now, I try to give you some resources, because especially one of the beautiful things about the internet and what we have available is there's so many beautiful resources. I've encouraged some of you to learn to use the concordance. You can go to the Blue Letter Bible. You can find Strong's Concordance. What I just shared with you about the original Greek in this was from the Blue Letter Bible, the Strong's Concordance. It's easy to use. It's easy to go there. And it's been around for a long time. I'm going to reference gotquestions.org. If you're not familiar, if you haven't used gotquestions.org as a resource, one of the founders of some of these resources, Randall Niles, he was actually in our services several months ago, and he prays for us as a church family, and he is supporting and excited about what is going on here in Madison County. You need to use these as certain resources. So write that down, gotquestions.org. I'm going to read exactly what is on their website regarding false teachers and false prophets, because there's a evaluation process, and I want to give you these three things real quick. Number one, what does this teacher say about Jesus? Jesus Christ and his work of redemption is of the utmost importance. Beware of anyone who denies that Jesus is equal with God, who downplays Jesus' sacrificial death, or who rejects Jesus' humanity. Number two, does this teacher preach the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection according to the Bible, not somebody's private interpretation of what that means? Number three, does this teacher exhibit character qualities that glorify the Lord? Jude 11 says, they have taken the way of Cain, they have rushed for profit into Balaam's error, and they have destroyed in Korah's rebellion. In other words, a false teacher can be known by his pride, which is Cain's rejection of God's plan. A false teacher can be known by greed, which is Balaam's prophesying for money, and rebellion, Korah's promotion of himself over Moses. Jesus said, beware of such people, and that we should know them by their fruits. Matthew 7, 15 through 20. The best way to guard yourself against falsehood and false teachers is for you to know the truth. To be able to spot a counterfeit of something, you need to be able to study the real thing. You don't study the counterfeit and then you can identify the real thing. You identify and you learn the real thing. That way you can spot a counterfeit or the thing that's false. So even like for me, and I will say to you, if you're new with us or if you're just hanging around, I'm not going to ask you just to trust me and follow me or what I say. I'm going to ask you to look at me and evaluate what I say and the way I live based on what the truth of the Word of God is. To use the Bible as an evaluation point for what you see and what you hear in my life. Because, yeah, I'm not asking you to just trust me. Trust should be earned. I should be able to earn how you view me based on how I am evaluated based on the truth of the Word of God. Does that make sense? And that's the way that we are able to learn who is teaching falsehood and what's going on. Now, I need for you to just hang with me for a minute, and hopefully these dots will connect, because I think that in our given culture, it's so important for us to make this consideration. Social media influencers are people who have built a reputation for their knowledge and expertise on a specific topic. Didn't say that they had the expertise, but they present it that way. So note, think about that. They make regular posts about the topic of their preferred social media channels, and they generate large followings of enthusiastic, engaged people who pay close attention to their views. Brands love social media influencers because they can create trends and encourage their followers to buy products they promote. Influencers are separated by marketing companies into different types. I didn't even know this. I wouldn't have any reason to know it. But there are influencers in the mega category, the macro category, the micro category, and the nano category. Good. I know that's based on numbers and different things. You can separate different types of influencers in multiple ways. Some of the most common methods are by follower numbers, by types of content, and by the level of influence, which makes sense. You can also group influencers by the niche in which they operate. This means that influencers who may appear in a low category by one measure may seem more influential when looked at in another way. For example, many mega influencers are also celebrities. Yet, both these groups often have less real influence on their audience because they lack expertise in a dedicated narrow niche. Some micro and even nano influencers can have a tremendous impact on followers in their special niche. They may be a significant benefit to a firm selling a product targeting that sector. This is what I want you to hear. Because in one article I read this and it just jumped off the page to me. One article I read, think about this. What's taking place in our world? Social media today is less about making friends and more about following popular content creators. When this whole thing got started, it was about this way to have connection and to be able to create friends and be able to stay in contact. That's not what social media is about anymore. Now, let me reread what I just read to you, verses 1 through 3 in the J.B. Phillips New Testament. But even in those days, there were false prophets, just as there will be false teachers among you today. They will be men who will subtly introduce dangerous heresies. They will thereby deny the Lord who redeemed them, and it will not be long before they bring on themselves their own downfall. Many will follow their pernicious teaching and thereby bring discredit on the way of truth. Do you realize how true this is? There's so many people across our nation right now that they're not open to the gospel because of somebody else that they've seen or watched from a leadership standpoint pervert the way of the cross. Think about this. This is what it says in the J.B. Phillips. In their lust to make converts, these men will try to exploit you too with their bogus arguments. What I read earlier in verse 3, By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. In their lust to make converts, these men will try to exploit you with their bogus arguments. I'm going to say again, the best way to guard yourself against falsehood and false teachers is to know the truth. To be able to spot a counterfeit of something, you need to study the real thing. And this is what I'm trying to help you understand. Our thing is simple. We're not trying to do cookie cutter MVC people here. We're not trying to brand anybody. We have a name for location and just for a certain level of identity. But what we are trying to do is to get you in love with Jesus Christ, to get you to lean on and trust the Father, to open yourself up, to allow the Holy Spirit to work in and through you, to make it personal. And what needs to happen is that this needs to be a personal faith thing. And we've got, between the two services, we've got just about everything on the planet represented as far as backgrounds, exposure. We've got this big hodgepodge of humanity, and we all look different, and yet we can have a similar heart because of Jesus Christ. But it comes down to simple things. Why do we say read the Bible? Because the living word of God is transformative, and it separates and sets us apart, and it changes us. But when you study the scripture and you know the truth, then you're able to detect or see lies and falsehood. It's the same thing with prayer. What we talked about last week. How do you hear the voice of God? You open your heart up, you talk to God, and you allow God to talk to you. You allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life. Some of you, it fired me up last, I think it was 2 weeks ago. Borrowed somebody's vehicle. I got in their vehicle, and this person has been growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. They didn't know I was going to borrow a vehicle. Borrow the vehicle, put it in, I'm in the minivan. I'm rocking the minivan, man. Honda Odyssey. I'm rolling, okay? Love those vehicles. Music comes on, blaring Jesus music at me. And I'm thinking to myself as I'm driving, I got this big grin on my face. Not just because I'm in the minivan, but this person is, their life is being so transformed that now it's affecting what they're putting into their ears because it's their desire to just be showered and inundated with godly things. You get what I'm saying? Maybe. Our social world has changed drastically in the last 50 years through technological advancements. That has been beautiful in so many ways, and it's got its downside too. False prophets and false teachers are still a huge problem to the Church of Jesus Christ. Some of you, maybe a big pastor that you've been listening to or following the last 5 years, I can mention a couple right now that they have gone left. And when I don't mean left politically, I'm talking about they've made a turn somewhere, and now they're teaching things that are directly, diametrically opposed to the Word of God, and saying that scholars and people over the last 1,000 years have gotten all the interpretations wrong from the Greek and Hebrew. There's still an issue we got to be careful of within the church. Falsehoods that are promoted by people who claim to be anointed by God, it's still a destructive force. But I want to ask you this morning, can we expand Peter's application or Peter's warning here? To be able to spot a counterfeit of something, you need to study the real thing. I've talked about this. I've mentioned it several times. I believe that these truths apply as much to, in certain ways, if not more for us today, to social media, movies, gaming, and anything or anyone that captures your attention on a consistent basis. Oh, pucker factor, it just got real, didn't it? Some of you are like, oh man. No, but think about it. I mentioned this earlier. I believe that most human beings have influencers, teachers, or proclaimers that carry just as much weight as the words that we're using here for prophet or preacher or teacher. I meet a lot of people, and we have people in this church family, and I'm totally cool with it. But I know that there are people outside of this church that have your ear more, that you trust and you listen to. They are basically your preachers, your proclaimers, your spiritual prophets in your life, whether you give them that title or not. Because that's the level of influence that they have on you. What we talked about with legacy is an evaluation process. What we talked about last week with prophecy and the Word of God, there's personal evaluation that needs to take place. What we're talking about today, between truth and lies, between truth and falsehood, there's an evaluation process. You have to be able to evaluate yourself and to know what's going on. Who they are and what they say or teach, it still matters. If you are influenced by someone, then you need to consider how they are impacting your life.
Well, I just say it doesn't matter. It doesn't have any influence on me.
Really? You've anesthetized yourself with that presentation? Come on. You got to be smarter than that.
Well, Pastor Tim, I got one shot. Might as well be honest, truthful, lay it out.
If someone has your ear, consider what they are depositing in your heart, mind, and soul. Parents, grandparents, I'm going to tell you right now, if we're not having straightforward conversations with our kids and with our grandchildren, we are setting them up for destructive failure the majority of the time by not addressing the very things we're talking about. Art, freedom of expression. This seems like such a simple test, but I want to ask you, does it encourage you or propel you to greater relationship with Father God by Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit? Just a simple question. But the people that have your ear, are they propelling or pushing you closer to Father? We regularly talk about from Matthew 22:37-40. We mentioned John 13:35. By this one earmark, are people going to know that you're really a follower, a disciple? And we genuinely believe that we were created for relationship. Andrew and I talked about it earlier. We believe that we're created for relationship with God and for relationship with others. How do we explain this simple mission here within our church family? It's just taking the biblical admonition. The way we do it is love God, love others, serve God, and serve others. Very simple. So I'm just going to ask you, if this is our mission, if this is what we're pressing into, are the people that have your ear helping you, building you up, propelling you toward these things? Let me ask you like this. Are the people in our lives defined as this, those we listen to and pay attention to what they do, propelling us to grow in our love for Father God and others to the point where we are willing to selflessly serve them? Or, this is a big or, are the people in our lives, those we listen to and pay attention to what they do, are they propelling us to grow our selfishness, our superiority, and our sinfulness? And this applies in the church and this applies outside the church, but we live in such a self-centered world that even within many church families, they are promoting selfishness. Like even what Andrew said, this isolation, it's about me, it's about what makes me happy. And I'm just telling you right now that there's a freedom and a joy that the New Testament proclaims through Jesus, that when I learn to love God because he first loved me, and I begin to learn to see other people and love them, and I begin to serve God and serve others, there's a joy that accompanies my selfless service that cannot be accomplished by any other thing. So I'm going to ask you, the people that have your ear, are they pushing you toward these things? But if they're pushing you into being more self-centered and acting like you're superior or you've got your stuff together, that's not the teachings of our Lord. That's not what Jesus is trying to promote. Are your influencers leading you to Jesus or to the world? Are your influencers directing you to heaven or hell? Your faith needs to be applied to eternal, everlasting truth. You need to know the truth to know what is falsehood and counterfeit. You see why I asked earlier, don't you feel like we need to enlarge Peter's application? Not just within the church, but outside the church. Because let's be honest, there's a lot of people that show up on Sunday mornings, but the greatest voices, the people that have our ears, are not from in here. They're out there. So, are we evaluating? And what Peter said all these years ago, probably a greater need for this type of evaluation and protection and guardianship than even when he wrote this, because back then, everything was pretty much singular or in a group. It was face-to-face. Yes, they would send tablets or letters to other places that could be read, but nothing like the explosion of information we have in our current culture. So I believe that Peter's warning about falsehood and false teaching is even more pertinent today. Jesus has great things for us. Peter in chapter 1 is saying you can share in the divine nature. You can think like God. You can be transformed. And so what is it that the forces of evil want to do? They don't want us to taste or walk in that. And the way that we're kept from that is all these lies and falsehoods and distractions. God wants to make himself known and do amazing things on our behalf. But we have to know his truth. We have to know what he says, and we have to hear his voice. I love you. Let's stay in the worship.